Number 28 is Oseh Siyag L'dvorav. Oseh means he makes. Siyag is a fence. L'dvorav is to his things. Well, your things is the things that you value. A fence around it is to protect it. So, a simple example is, if you have a hole in your front lawn, and it's 10 feet deep, the first thing you do is you make a provisional fence, right? You call up somebody to put up a fence. You don't want your kids falling in, you don't want visitors falling in, right? Now, the same thing goes. If you find you make mistakes, and they cost you, make a fence that you don't do it again. If you find you're doing something counterproductive, like fighting with your parents, and you regret it, and you do it again, and you regret it again, and you do it again, and you regret it again, it's silly. Make a fence. Okay, so how do we go about putting up a fence around our things? So number one is, first, you've got to know yourself and see the extent of the problem, because that's what makes you take this seriously. So what is it that you should do? Actually make a list of the things that you have resolved, that you've promised yourself, that you're going to do, and you didn't do it. The things that you've regretted and say that this will never happen again. You remember, you fellows, most of you have taken finals, yeah? College, you remember when you said, this is not going to happen to me again, I'm going to start studying at the beginning of the term. Remember the famous last words, yeah? Right? Then what happened next year, next semester? Comes to the finals and you say, I'm going to start studying at the beginning of the term. And then the next, by the fourth time, what happens is you say, well, I'm incorrigible. I guess there's nothing for me to do except suffer through life. So you should make a list of all these things that you can remember. The things you regretted doing, the things that you promised yourself you're going to do that you never fulfilled, the decisions that you were going to make that you never got around to making, the insights that you figured were forever would change your life and just disappeared on you, etc., etc. All these things that are precious to you in one way or another, and you just haven't lived with them. Number two is, see the damage. And the damage is extensive. Starting studying in the beginning of the term, that means that 4 years of college is down the drain. You know that. Cramming for a final ain't the way you're going to know anything. You might pass, might even get a good mark, but those subjects are strangers to you. If it was worthwhile spending 4 years there, you should have come out with something. Yeah. But B, the biggest damage of them all is what? Lack of self-confidence. When the test comes again, and you say, I'm going to start studying, you don't even make an effort anymore. Doesn't feel too good, but more, you widen the credibility in yourself. Man, if you don't believe in yourself, what are you going to believe in? So number three is realize that the first fence you got to make is when you resolve, when you say, I'm going to undertake to do something, then you've got to know you mean it. You see, the whole problem comes from the fact that we think we've resolved to do something when we haven't. If you really made up your mind you're going to start studying at the beginning of the term, you would have. When we human beings make up our minds to do something, it's done. The problem is that we think we made up our minds when we haven't made up our minds. We really didn't make a decision. We say, it's a nice idea. I'm going to start studying in the beginning of the term, maybe. If I don't change my mind. And we tend to believe in ourselves extravagantly without checking it out. Don't make yourself a promise unless you mean it. That's the first fence you should make. That will start restoring your self-credibility. You just let it go. Yeah, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to come to the finals unprepared, and I'm going to cram like mad. Righto. That's me. Right? But it's a heck of a lot healthier than saying, well, I'll do it. I don't want to do it. It's no to school. But B of this is that requires a little self-introspection. You have to ask yourself, do I mean this? I have an insight. Will I remember this? It's what the rabbis say. Chochom einav b'roshah. The wise man, his eyes are in his head. He doesn't look in the past and say, I didn't mean it. He looks
to the future and say, do I mean it? And you know whether you mean it. You know whether you will maintain this if you pause a moment and really get in touch with what you know. And if you mean it, fine. Make a resolution. If not, then say, I'm going to let this one slip by too.
Okay, so number four is start building up your self-confidence by looking over the list. Pick one. Not too difficult. Yeah. Make up your mind. You're going to brush your teeth. Okay, come on. That's not too difficult. We're going to brush our teeth every morning. All right. But make sure you mean it. Number five is don't be a hero. Don't use brute strength. Complete control of your decision-making capacity. Following through with determination. That's a hero thing, you know. Storm the barricade. Make it easy on yourself. Have a plan. Have a way that will make it necessary for you to accomplish what you want to accomplish. The first fence is, check yourself out. Do you mean it? But that's, do you mean it? What would be a strategy to use that you got to brush your teeth in the morning? Can you imagine, would this strategy work? No breakfast until you brush your teeth. Do you think that would work? You forget once, you forget two, but do you see that it will bring you around? Another way is, if you don't brush your teeth, then you give 10 shekel to charity. The idea is, set up a system that makes it difficult for you to forget what you undertook and force you into doing what you wanted to do through a roundabout, through strategy, rather than brunt, main, determination, effort. Number six is, what's the expression? Do you still know the expression? A fool learns from his own mistakes. Yeah. So if you take out your list and all the mistakes you made and the resolutions and the undertakings that you haven't taken, right, and see, why did you lose? Is it that you forgot? Is it that you gave up? Remember what went wrong and make sure it doesn't happen again. So number seven is, let's take the most prevalent. What usually is the first thing that goes wrong? The new semester starts and what happens? How many of you guys remember in the beginning of the term that you ever made a plan to study at the beginning of the term? I would say that 99% of what goes wrong with most of us in insights, resolutions, etc., 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 is that we simply forget about it. That's my personal experience. If people find that that isn't the experience, that you don't forget about it, well, then you have to look into your personal experience, right? But my personal experience is that all kind of resolutions, but in the press of living and the press of doing things, we just forget about it. So now, what are you going to do that you can avoid forgetting about? So the Mishnah says, "Im lo achshav emasai." The first thing that you should do, if you're not going to do something about it right now, then ask yourself when. First, set a date, a time. That makes it real. The second thing you can do is put it on your calendar, if you read your calendar. Yeah? But an excellent piece of advice for all of you for living is carry a little notebook, and anything that's important, put it down. And every month, either cancel them out, fulfill them, or transfer them. Carry them over. But now, for really important things, if you want to remember to use the happiness drill, to focus on the pleasure and not the pain, whatever it is that you feel is really important to you, then the simplest piece of advice to make sure you don't forget it, to make sure that you put it into effect, is hire yourself a friendly nudnik. Everybody understands what that is? Everybody's got a nudnik that he knows, right? Now you tell him, look, anytime you remind me, did you remember to count 20 pleasures today? And I tell you, no, 10 shekel. Right? Now what friendly nudnik will pass up such an opportunity? And who of you is strong enough to pay a friendly nudnik more than 5 times without changing your way of life? Do you see that it will work? So it reminds you, it pushes you into brushing your teeth, into remembering, then pleasures, into whatever you want done, he'll get it done. And of course, everybody's got a friendly nudnik who's free, and that is who? Your mother, yeah. She'll do it for you with verve and charm and actually be pleased at undertaking the obligation to help you. Right? Number eight is set your goals, then take a step further and see what problems will interfere. And then make a plan to avoid those problems. Like riding a bicycle, it takes practice. Like everything else, right? You didn't just get up on the bicycle and ride away. Yeah? You stumbled a few times, you fell, picked yourself up, you did it again. Number nine is that there are a lot more mistakes to avoid. And those mistakes fall into a few categories. The mistakes that humanity makes as a whole. We don't appreciate what we have. All humanity is that way. We don't know what we're living for. We don't make decisions. This is all of them. And the mistakes that society makes, your society. Definition of good is to be successful. You want to be good, be good. You want to be successful, but don't mix the two up. Yeah. Then after you go through humanity, society, then you can take your own personal mistakes. How are you going to overcome this fear of pain? How are you going to overcome this lack of definitions? What are you going to do about it? You know it's robbing you. You get it? Number 10 is that in Judaism we say, study this list constantly. Chatoi negdi tomai. The Psalms, King David said, my mistakes are in front of me constantly. Constantly. Now why? Because that is itself offense. You know you're making these mistakes, it softens it. If you realize that if you constantly keep this in front of you, that is an excellent offense. It puts up your guard. So read that list constantly. Go over it at least once a month to remind you, this is the enemy. This is what I've got to overcome. Now you should remember the one before this is be happy. Take pleasure in what you have. Otherwise it can depress you. All these problems. But if you start with societies, it won't be that depressive, you see, because you know we're all suffering. Yeah? But still you should take pleasure in what you have. Otherwise it's just too much to do. Number 11 is that if you study this list and get angry at insanity, then you have power. Then you will be motivated to do something about it. So caution, pick one thing at a time. Don't take the whole bloody, you have to be very angry to change your whole lifestyle. See, there's a lot of mistakes that everybody's making. But every one of us has the particular mistake that is a drain of our potential. One guy, it's laziness. One guy, it's lack of purpose, of clarity of goals. For another fellow, it's he doesn't know himself. So you should try to track down your particular Achilles heel, because that's what's holding you back. And tackle that one first. That unloosens a flood of energy. Number 12 is that, look, a more difficult thing to do is chochem einav bereishai. Travel in front of yourself. You see, it's very difficult to think of yourself as a married man. It's a different situation. It's difficult for you to think of yourself in college until you get there. You remember? It's very difficult for you to think of yourself as a 70-year-old man. You know? But really, you should travel in front of yourself all the way. When you're 70, what will you be thinking about life? Prepare for the trip. Do you realize that if the doctor ever tells you you got one day to live, you're going to ask yourself, so what was it about? Who am I? What did I do? It's a little late in the game, right? Now one day you're going to have one day to live. Huh? Why wonder at that time? Why not wonder now? But it's difficult. So B of this is, get advice. There's a book by Gail Sheehan, Passages. Anybody read that book? It's talking about the crises in American lifestyle. The first crisis that she talks about is when you graduate college. See, until you graduate college, you know exactly what you got to do. You got to pass, you got to get your BA, right? Then you come out with your BA, you say, so what am I doing with this? Where do you get it punched for your meal ticket? Or am I educated now? I mean, what did I do? But even if you have an engineering degree, you ask yourself, what do I do with this? Do I want to be an engineer? If they ask me, can I build a bridge? Will I be able to say, yes? You understand? It will be the first crisis. But then comes another crisis. You're successful. You've got a job. You're good at it. You say, is this what I wanted to do? So she describes the different passages, the crises. You keep on going, you keep on going. And the final, of course, the final crisis is when a guy is about 60 or 55, it doesn't matter when it hits him, and he says, that's what life is about. Get the answers now. She doesn't talk about that. But if you know what you can predict, yeah? How many fellas here plan to get married? Come on, put up your hands. Okay, how many of you guys plan to get a divorce? Nobody. You know, according to statistics, it's, what is it, 50%? Yeah? 50%, right? The idea is, anybody who plans to get married doesn't plan to get a divorce. So what happens? If you have a friend who has a vicious divorce, you say, what happened? Human beings who were in love, who swore that they couldn't live without each other. Look at the way they're attacking each other. What happened? What is a human being? What goes on? Doesn't that make sense? Figure out, can it happen to you? It's silly to say it can't happen to me. What is it that you got to do to avoid that mistake? Or could have happened to one of you beautiful guys right here. They can't get along with their parents. Yeah. So you say, ha-ha, but me with my kids, we're going to have a perfect understanding. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be sweet. You know, they'll never quarrel. They'll never tell me to go hang my... Not my kids, because I'll be the excellent parent. What do you think your parents thought? Huh? So then what's wrong? Then let's avoid having kids altogether. That's looking into the future. How are you going to avoid your kids going on dope? You've seen parents having it. Yeah? Well, they won't do that. You know that it's out of control. The parents are suffering for it. And then some parents are wonderful parents. That happens to them. Right? Or into a cult. What are you going to do? The idea isn't to give up and just walk, you know, shell-shocked, yeah, like, yeah, but find out, inquire, study, and get some techniques. Stay in the yeshiva a little while, that's the best fence, because at least somebody talks about it. What is marriage? What makes it work? Where are you going to go? You're going to go to Harvard? Huh? You're going to go to School of Wisdom. If you have a sense of the problems that are coming your way, you will take the precaution of trying to get yourself some understanding of what life values are, how to communicate, why do people do what they do. All right, number 13, send yourself to Europe before you get on the plane. You're going touring, pretend you're landing in Europe. Yeah. Now what's the first problem? Don't know no French, so what am I going to do? I'm going to say, where's a hotel? I mean, walk ahead of yourself. Yeah. We have this ability. The wise man looks ahead of himself, doesn't just wander in and, oh, boom, wow. What happened? Hey, let me out. Yeah. Continuity in basketball, the professionals are great at it. Yeah, they take a shot while they're falling down and they're head over heels and they get it in, right? But boy, they drill. When you know your moves down pat, yeah, then spontaneity is great. When you don't know how to get a set shot, spontaneity is you're going to throw it into the bleachers. You know, whoa! So if you walk ahead of yourself, it doesn't mean that you're not going to open up to what happens, right? But you're not going to be surprised, shocked, knocked out of the box, yeah? Right?
the more you're prepared, the greater your ability to improvise according to the circumstances.
Okay, so the idea is whatever, you're going into a business deal, go through the steps beforehand. You're choosing a career. What are the problems? What are the... Beforehand, take the whole road. What if I don't get a job? What if I don't like it? Be prepared. Look ahead of yourself. That's the way to live. All right, so number 14 is that if you appreciate that, then get advice in overcoming problems. That's one of the greatest fences. Your parents got a job. Your parents got married. You know people got married. You know people got a divorce. Now, it doesn't mean that you got to listen to them. They'll tell you, one guy, you know, you learn from your mistakes. Usually you learn the wrong thing. And that is that people who get a divorce will usually tell you, you can't trust a man or a woman, right? Ask him. They're nuts. That's not true. All men aren't nuts. All women aren't nuts, right? Very few are. But people make the wrong conclusions. Now, when you're listening to someone else, you're much better off in figuring out whether he's making a mistake or he's on. That's an excellent fence. Don't wait until you've made the mistake and try to draw your conclusion. Listen to other people's conclusions and see whether it makes sense or not. B of this is Alcoholics Anonymous. That means that when their things are tough, don't travel alone. Mutual support. You want to change a habit of being miserable, of not knowing what you're living for. Whatever it is that you decide, get a couple of friends and make a Alcoholics Anonymous of your own. Together we're much more powerful. Two are better than one. When one falls, the second one picks him up. Buddy system. You got 10 people, power. There's a lot of different pieces of advice. You pick them up and put them into for living. Number 15 is, that's for wisdom. When you get a piece of wisdom, like you hear a class like this, or you hear a class on happiness, or how to accept pain, or how to use business, and how to use sex, and how to use how to wake up. Now, what's the first mistake we make? We're spectators. Don't be no spectator. Make a decision. Valid or not valid? Well, I don't need to make no decision. Man, it's a decision by default. It's floating. Do you agree that you should have a fence around your things? Do you agree that you're losing self-confidence? Come on. Yes or no? Decisions. Is that your perception? Or is it what is being told you? In one ear, out the other. Second aspect of wisdom, B of this is, if you agree that this is necessary, that not living this way was one big mistake, and it's robbed you of an awful lot in life. So, peer into the future. First, you make a decision. I'm going to do something about it or not. Then, make a decision. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I'm going to be happy. How? I'm going to work at it. How are you going to work at it? Well, I'm going to spend 15 minutes a day on the priorities. Yeah, on my blessings. Yeah, 15 minutes a day. How many days? 30 days. Are you going to do it? Yes. When? Well, 6 o'clock. 6 to 6:15. Yeah? Okay. Now, is it going to happen? Well, I got some problems. 6:15 is not usually my time. Look. Plan until you see it done. Wisdom is more than money. Don't waste it. Number 16 is that the advice of the Almighty, and the Jewish people has accepted it, is that the biggest individual fence against wasting the most precious things in life is cheshbon. Cheshbon means taking accounting. In Judaism, we say that the basic common denominator of free will, doesn't matter whether you're a Hottentot in Australia or a communist in China, or a voodoo worshiper in Haiti, or a Catholic in Sicily, or a Jew in Mea Shearim, or a Jew in Eshet Torah. The common denominator of free will is whether you're going to continue to ask yourself, what am I living for? What do I really want out of life? Or you're going to beg the question. Because anyone who will clarify what he really, bottom line, wants out of life will necessarily be a great human being. That is the fence to make. That's the thing to do to God, that you don't waste your life, you don't peter it away, you don't miss the pleasures that are available. Clarity brings action. It's just the confusion that's holding you back. So the fence is, eliminate the confusion. Number 17 is, that in Judaism we say the greatest mistake that a human being can make is to give up on greatness. Every human being was created, the world was created for him. That's what we mean by the dignity of the individual. We're not allowed to give up one human being to death to save 100,000. Every human being is worth the whole world. That's the Jewish concept. And you are worth the whole world. You're made in the image of God. Don't give up that dream of greatness that was yours as a five-year-old. That's the most precious thing that you have to protect. But you have to make a fence around it. How do you protect this? The first thing is realize you haven't begun. You got to appreciate you just aren't making that effort for greatness. Don't say, I've tried, and I haven't made it. That's the first obstacle. We say, look, I'm already 25, I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60, I haven't made it. In Judaism, we say, friend, all you need is one day. Even on your deathbed, make that effort. You've got to find your powers. Otherwise, you've given up. The most terrible thing to give up is your quest in life, greatness. So look, why do we need this way? Why is this necessary? Look, life is difficult. It's tough. When you have tough work, you need tools. The biggest obstacle we have to living is mistakes. You need a tool to avoid those mistakes, to get rid of that obstacle. Looking ahead to see the obstacle is the way to get rid of it. We can figure it out. Use your head. Number two is that the Torah says, "B'tachbulo yistas emulchoma," and the Bible says, the Almighty says to you, with strategy you should wage war. You know, there's one way of waging war is straight on. Yeah. A frontal attack. So we have this hero complex. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Strategy. Less expenditure of energy. Less murders. What will make you win? Keep your mind working? Okay. Make a plan for tomorrow. It takes 15 minutes a day. But it's all about learning about living. What will get you the greatest goal for the least expenditure of energy? Because we got an awful long way to go. So even if you win these small battles, you're not going to get to the big one. Too much effort. The third aspect is that, look, if you don't protect yourself, if you don't protect your values, and you don't protect yourself against mistakes, so we already said, you're giving up on life. You lose your self-confidence, your credibility in your own eyes. And that's a terrible way to live. Even if you're successful as a businessman, but you lose your credibility as far as being able to deal with your children, keeping your temper, being able to communicate with your wife. You, little pieces of living, you chunks are torn out of you. And you just get wasted away. So you've got to deal with your mistakes now and keep on moving them. Okay, now what are we going to do about it? So one day, my friend, one day, make a plan tonight, make a plan for tomorrow. And tomorrow night, go over that plan and make one more plan. Go ahead, try it out. And try to make it as detailed as possible. Write it down. You know, wake up,
miserable, full of cheer, what are you going to say? Are you going to have your clothes ready or not? Think it through. One time. Yeah? Go through your day. Right? Going to take notes? Not going to take notes. Going to go over my notes? Not going to go over. Each thing, ask yourself. Make a decision. One day, then go over. Did I do it? Didn't I? Then that's okay. And make another plan for tomorrow. Get the feeling.
You have been listening to Voices from Jerusalem. For a complete listing of our cassettes, see our web store at aish.com. For a free cassette catalog, email us at voices@aish.com or call toll-free in the U.S. 1-800-VOICES-3. Our main office is at 1 Western Wall Plaza, Jerusalem, Israel. Shalom from Jerusalem.